For I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel.
It truly meant a lot. I would really also like to thank all the people who did all the goodie bags, all the goodie baskets for everyone. I mean, they didn't really have to do it. It was just nice to see that they cared for everyone on a day like that. I also would like to thank our wonderful pastor for putting up with us for the extra year. Considering COVID hit, kind of put a pause on us, we had to go over a lot twice. It really put a damper on things, but we made it through. It really felt good on how much time to put into this.
Thank you all. Thank you.
I'll pay you money afterwards. For those kind words.
Thank you so much, Owen. You know, that's just kind of one of those special moments that you don't ever hear very often. And it's very precious as well for you to say what you said today, as well as those of you that, because I told the kids, I said, you know, this is a big deal. This confirmation is you got a lot of supportive people that are behind you and care about you and want the best for you. And I don't think they really believed me what that all meant, but it came through. It came through last week. And so as you heard him say, I can't say any more to that. I do want to remind you, though, of some of the things that are coming up this week. There is a women's Bible study that continues to meet here on Tuesday mornings at 9:30, entitled Matchless. And if you are here and haven't been to the Bible study, they will still welcome you, and it'll be just like you've always been there. So if you want to come and be a part of that on Tuesday at 9:30, please do. There's a prayer group that meets following that at 11 o'clock in the library as well. So Wednesday, we're back, I think, on the regular track. On Wednesday is what happens here at Harbor of Joy. Lenten service is at 7 o'clock, and we are continuing on watching Jesus, or following Jesus to the cross, a place called Golgotha. Last Wednesday was about what, Oliver? He's my grandson, I can do this. He doesn't remember.
Barabbas,
yeah, we talked about Barabbas. Thanks to Oma. Alright. So this Wednesday night we'll continue on with that and what happens after Barabbas. You know, the people said, let Barabbas go, but when it comes to Jesus, crucify him. Crucify him. So what happens after that? We'll find out this Wednesday night, and you're welcome to come at 7 o'clock for that service. Thursday, guess what? We finished the Bible study of the book of Revelation. It was a wonderful time, and it took us a while to get to chapter 22, and we're finished with that. We're going to take a little break until after Easter, but we're going to do a Bible study after Easter on the book of Philippians, which is the joy book that we find in the New Testament. And going to do a men's Bible study, hopefully on a Tuesday morning when we do this. So men, you can be mindful of that, think about that. We will then do that also on a lunch for the bunch. That's at from noon till 1 o'clock on Thursdays. And then I'm looking at a Sunday night. If there's somebody I'd like to meet and go through the book of Philippians on Sunday night, just let me know or call the church office and we'll kind of go from there. We'll put out the natural starting times and days. Hopefully next Sunday we can do that for you. But we're all ready for a book of Philippians after doing the book of Revelation. There's no doubt about that. Also, just next month, keep in mind that the third Wednesday night of April 21st is the return of the Adult Fellowship Night. And have something to eat, and a special speaker that will be here, I think, right, Dean?
Oh, yeah, we'll have somebody.
There will be somebody. It might be just Dean. Who knows? But that will be taking place coming up in April. So with that, just like I've worked prayer with you this morning, and I'll turn it back over to the praise band. After prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for all that are viewing us on Zoom, and for those of us that are here today. And thank you, Lord, for another Sunday that you've given to us. We know that your return coming is soon. I pray, Lord, that everyone here and everyone who is listening, that they know in their own heart that they're ready for your coming again. You promised you'd come the first time, and you did. We celebrate Christmas on account of that. And you said that you will come again to judge the living and the dead. And Lord, there's no better day to get right with you than today. don't to put it off for tomorrow, because we don't know if tomorrow will come or not. But we do know that today is here, and that your call is for us to respond to you this day and not some other day. So we pray today, Lord, that we hear from you and all that is said and done, and that your still small voice maybe today could be a little louder in the hearts and lives of those of us that need to hear that voice of yours louder, that you call us unto yourself. Thank you for being a God that watches over us and will take care of us regardless of the things that go on in this world. And no matter how chaotic things may be, no matter how disgusting things may be, God, we have you to trust in, to you to lean on, and that it's always been that way. Help us to be people of faith that come to you and hold on to you and trust in you regardless of the things we see around us. Faith is one of those things, Lord, that is a gift that comes from you as well. And we are grateful for this wonderful gift and for Jesus Christ coming to save us and to forgive us and to give us eternal life as we trust in him today and every day. We pray in his name. Amen.
Come spend your
some of these songs than just little ditties. No, they're not ditties. They're okay. Responsive reading today comes from Psalm 119, 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? I seek you with all my heart.
Do not let me stray from your commandments.
I have hidden your word in my heart. Praise be to you, O Lord. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Jesus had a spear of a Roman soldier that pierced his side. And Jesus said to Thomas, go ahead, touch my scars. The scars are something that after you've had a big owie, it leaves a scar. When I went into the army, we had to write down anything that would identify you in case you were found dead or blown up or something like that. So they wanted scars. And so I only knew one scar that I had was on right in my elbow, and I broke my arm. I had a cast on. And it would rub against there, and it left a dark spot on the inside of my elbow. And of course, it itched at times. I'd take a bread knife and go up and down on it to scratch it. But that was one of the scars I had to write down to say, if you needed to identify me, look for that on my right arm by the elbow. You'll find the scar. So there's other scars we can have. There's physical scars, there's also emotional scars, and just things that sin leaves in our lives, in our hearts, that scar us up, that we need a Savior. I invite you to stand as we hear God's Word this morning. It comes to us from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Read in Jesus' name. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they asked, or they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you, he asked. They replied, let one of us sit on your right and the other on your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left, these places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. It means they didn't really like what they heard them ask Jesus. And Jesus called them all together and he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have sent us Jesus to come and to serve us and to lay down his life, to pay the price that we could not pay for our sins. Thank you for his forgiveness and that it's here for us today, free of charge. Help us to be willing to receive this gift of grace through your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You have probably found in your bulletin, if you got a bulletin today, there's a little outline in there that is a multiple choice about James and John. It's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and you're supposed to just give me the letter that you think goes along with that blank to be filled in there. James and John were blank. Called sons of thunder, fishermen. C, sons of Zebedee. D, brothers. E, all of these. F, wrote a book or books in the Bible. G, disciples of Jesus. What is the right letter, Oliver?
E.
E, yes, it is E. It's all of them is what we learn about James and John. You know, they are revealing a little chink in their armor today in our message. And the request to Jesus is really quite odd. And they say, teacher, We want you to do for us whatever we ask. Have you ever had that asked of you by your kids or your grandkids? You know, in other words, James and John are saying, Jesus, we're going to ask you something, and we want you to say yes to it. I mean, who does that? If your own kids come and say, will you just say yes after I ask you what I want of you, mom or dad? You know, you're going to be pretty suspicious. You're going to want to know more about what's behind this. It's just like if your kids ask you, you know, I want you to do whatever, say yes because I'm going to ask you a question here, mom or dad. And you don't know if they've told their brother or sister that mom loves me more than you. I mean, you want to find out what's behind this whole thing before you say yes. And of course, if you find out that's what they said, you go like, I love you both just as much. You know, I don't love one more than the other. If it is a teenager you have in your family, and it says, Mom, Dad, I just want you to say yes. Whatever I ask you, will you do that? Okay, please? And you say, no way. Because you find out, they say, I want you to buy me a new car. And if you find that out, you're like, no, I'm not gonna buy you a new car. Or you have a son or daughter who's graduating from high school, and they say, Mom, Dad, and they say yes, whatever I ask you here today, you know, I just want you to say yes, please. And you go like, no, I want you to tell me more what you're thinking. And you go like, well, I just want to know if I could go to any college I want to go to, and you'll pay for it. Or it's like, I don't want to go to college. I want to stay home and live with you for the rest of my life. Will you say yes? You kind of go like, uh-uh. Get a job, and you're gone, and make it on your own, and we'll be here for you, and we'll help you if we can. James and John, they're asking Jesus if they can sit one on his right and one on his left when he comes in his glory. Now, Matthew tells us that their mother is behind this. If you look at Matthew 20:20, it is their mother who comes to Jesus and asks, hey, could you just do a favor for me, Lord? When it comes to your kingdom, it'd be nice if one of my boys, or both my boys, one could sit on your right and one could sit on your left. That's what Matthew said. And Jesus, he does listen to the request. But then Jesus also says this to them. You don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink? Of course, the cup he's talking about is a cup that he wanted to avoid in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is a cup that's filled with the sins of the whole world. Can you drink the sins of the whole world? And James and John, they're thinking about this, and then Jesus goes on and he says, can you be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Now, baptize, as it's put in, from the Greek into the English language, it means three different things. Baptism means a cleansing by washing. It can mean immersion, going underneath water completely. Or it can be an or a death. Baptism by death. And so Jesus is talking about going to Jerusalem, and he knows what the outcome is going to be. He's going there to go to the cross, and he will die on the cross. What's interesting with Mark here is that Mark has told his disciples three times what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem. The third time he is telling them, he gives more details to the disciples, and that's right prior to our text here today. If you go to verse number 32, at the end it says, and he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles, which be to the Romans, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him. Flog him as the whippings, you know. 40 lashes, but the Romans said, we'll just give you 39 lashes because we're such nice people. 39 lashes as a flog, and then kill him, which would be on the cross. He will die on the cross. A painful death. And at the end, Jesus does say to them each time, 3 days later, that he will rise from the dead. No? They kind of lose sight of that three-day resurrection. And of course, don't blame them. We'd probably do the same thing if we were in their sandals. And we'd go like, don't know anything about him coming back to life. Who has that ever happened to where somebody said, I'm going to die, but I'll be back in 3 days? No one has ever said that, and probably wouldn't believe it if we did hear that at this time. So the disciples, they just don't get it yet. And you think the disciples are so close to Jesus that they understand everything he has to say to them and what he teaches them and what he teaches other people, what he does for other people. But we realize the disciples are a lot like us, just don't quite get it. Even though we hear a lot of sermons through the years and read the scriptures and you hear different Bible stories and it comes down to real life living, we kind of go like, you know, don't always get it. Don't always see it the way that the Lord sees it. So this is one of the things that James and John, who are brothers, are asking Jesus to do for them. And of course, their response after he tells them this is like, we can do all this. We can drink the cup. We can be baptized with the baptism you're talking about and go to death. I don't know if they make that connection, but they just really believe that they can do all these things. And Jesus knows better. He just says, you know, there's no one that can do this. That's the reason why I came. It's for you and for everyone else. So Jesus tells them that only God and his Father knows who will be seated next to Jesus in his glory. He doesn't say that here in Mark, but he does say that in Matthew's account, chapter 20. Greatness. We've got what is called the NCAA basketball tournament that's going on. Everybody wants to be the number one team, to be great. And who's that going to be? We don't know. But James and John think that they should have privy over all the other disciples, the other 10 disciples, and they should be placed on Jesus' right and on his left. Now keep in mind that in the day that Jesus lived, it's kind of somewhat today, we see it as well, that it's a place of prestige, a place of status, to be next to like a king. Jesus as the Messiah, as one who's going to come and become king over the land and to release them from the control of the Roman government. That's how a lot of the disciples are thinking what's going to happen when they go to Jerusalem. He's going to take control and they'll be freed from the Roman government and he'll be the king and they want to sit on each side of him and show that they're the best disciples of the 12. But that's not why Jesus is going to Jerusalem, to be that kind of a king. Today we see that head table, you think of going to a wedding. The reception, there's usually a head table. The bride and the groom, the ones who are married, sit in the middle. You got the best man who sits on the side of the groom. You got the matron of honor who sits on the side of the bride. Right? And it's kind of a special place. You know, and that's what we just expect in today's day. But if there's someone who is upset, who's in the wedding group, saying like, I know I'm not the best man, but I want to sit next to the groom. Or, I know I'm not the prettiest girl here, but I want to sit next to the bride. You know, you'd probably start a little something that you wish would not happen or shouldn't happen on a special day like a wedding. James and John are really telling the other disciples that they are posturing. They're posturing for a place of status. Good to see you, Mike. Not that he's here, I just remember Mike. Last time I saw him was in Dickinson, North Dakota. He must be driving a truck.
No, I'm just driving my pickup.
Okay, he's driving a pickup. Good to have you here. They're manipulating and wanting to have this place of importance that Jesus even himself cannot say is their place. Can this happen in a church? People kind of jockey around for a place or a position to be somebody, to get attention. It can. And it probably does happen. Now, I'm not saying it happens here at Harbor of Joy, because you're a bunch of joyful people. But it can happen in the church of people who want to be recognized and only do things in the church if they do get recognized. And that's not what Jesus is talking about here, is it? Jesus, if you want to be great, he shows his disciples, look at the Gentiles, look at the real working world of how things are done. You've got high officials, you've got CEOs, you've got a boss that basically runs the way that the company is or the way that your job is, somebody that's over you, and is going to tell you how you're to do it, even though there might be other guys who've been there longer than you who never had to do the things your boss wants you to do. But he says that the rulers and the high officials, they exercise authority over others. They lord it over them. It means you do what I tell you to do, and just don't even think about trying to talk and tell me that there's another way to do it. You just do what I tell you. And some of you have probably worked for people like that over the years. And some of you are saying, I'm so glad I'm retired. I don't have to put up with that anymore. But that's the real working world. That's the real world. When it comes to being a Christian and following Jesus, he tells his followers, if you want to be great, it doesn't matter if you're number one basketball team. It doesn't matter how well-dressed you are if you can't do the job. He says, if you want to be great, learn how to serve others. That's what is really great in God's eyes. It's serving other people. It's other people are more important than who? Than you. That's what's important. Humble yourself. Others are more important than me. Jesus did tell his disciples at one time, if you want to be great, he pointed to a child. Because it's a child that has a childlike faith. He doesn't say if you want to be great, become an adult and do what adults do. But become like a child if you want to be great in God's kingdom. There is that sense of honesty, that sense of purity, that sense of being humble. But there are some kids today that you wouldn't want to tell them to do anything. Because they'll say that word they're taught not to say. No. I even hear from one of my grandkids that said, you're not my mom or dad. I don't have to listen to you, Opa. I won't mention no names. So. But that's kind of how it is. If you want to be great in God's eyes, humble yourself. Admit when you're wrong. Lower yourself. Jesus did that. as we heard about that last week, even in the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Jesus goes on and he says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. When you go to a restaurant and there is a waitress or a waiter, you have some expectations. That's what they're there for, they're to serve me. Do they give me enough attention, filling up my glass of water or bringing to me the meal when it should be given or taking away my plate? You see how we sometimes can have expectations on people that we want to be served, and we serve right. Have you ever picked up your plate and given it to the server? They probably go like, don't do that, it's my job. I just want to help you out. You can't do that. Jesus says, learn to serve. Learn to serve. Because he came not to serve, but to serve us. He also came to give his life as a ransom for many. Now let me ask you this in closing. Can everyone in the church serve? Is there a place for everyone to serve? Yes, there should be all kinds of bobbleheads here. There is a place for everyone, even teenagers, to serve. You know, your teenagers have a way with high tech that us older people don't have. The sound booth, Zooming. I mean, I can't do that. I'm glad there's people who can, but I can't. But we can all find a place to serve. It's just sometimes we end up serving in too many different places that you spread yourself so thin that you're not able to do everything quite right. And you get frustrated and you start getting critical and you get mad and you get angry and you go like, is there anybody else here that can do things? Hey, chill. Just find one place. And as a church, we should say, hey, so-and-so does this really well. Thank them and find another place where you can serve. Whatever it may be. I'm so thankful for servant hearts that are at Harbor of Joy. Dale Garrels, you're one of those. Now, you wouldn't want me to say this because you're also giving me the eye like, just be quiet. Well, I'm not going to be. You talk about somebody who's got a servant's heart. I see what Dale does. Last summer, hotter than Cooter Jones, what is Dale doing? He's painting around the windows, giving a coat of paint because it was peeling. And he did every window on this church. Right? I don't know how many there are. There's a lot. Not an easy job. And in the heat. He also helped with the putting in a ramp for Dwayne Anderson, who's got ALS, and for Vicky in their garage here just lately. And he had some help with that. You know, Steve Letcher was there. Steve, you do a lot too. Different things. I think Scott Berry helped as well, right? And the neighbor with that. So we appreciate that. Servants, being a servant. And he doesn't want to be recognized for it, and he'll probably tell me afterwards, don't you ever do that again. And I'll say, well, just make a point, Dale. And there's a lot of you ladies, too, that love to serve and do serve in so many ways. Carol Banta, you're another one of them. Always around doing something. And Pat and Karen and Ross. I mean, good night. It's good to see them. Serve. Jesus encourages us to serve one another. Because that's what he did. He didn't do it to be noticed. He just did it because that's who he was. And that's what he came to do. And that's why we need Jesus in our lives, because without him, we turn pretty selfish really quick. Jesus is the most selfless person you'll ever know. And he came to serve you and to serve me and to give his life for you and for me. What a guy. What a savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we have to serve you from day to day. Forgive us. Forgive us for not serving in a way that brings glory to your name. Forgive us, Lord, for wanting to be patted on the back or to be applauded for something that we do. We want people to notice. And when that doesn't happen, we get a little upset. We start getting a little critical of others. We start saying, well, I do a lot more around here than anybody else. And Lord, that's not the spirit in which you came to this earth. You came to serve us. And you see how ungrateful we are, how unthankful we are. And yet you are faithful in all of this. Help us to be servants, not because we have to, but because we want to. You've given every one of us, Lord, abilities and gifts to bring glory to your name. And if someone thanks us, if someone says, you did a good job, you just say, well, the Lord gets all the credit. Because without him, I wouldn't do this. And so, Lord, thank you for the many servants that are found here. And if there's someone here today being convicted of serving you, that's okay. It's a good thing. But maybe we just surrender ourselves and just say, Lord, I just want to find a place to serve you because I know that that is what you're all about. Help me in doing this for you. Help me, Lord, in this church to serve in a way that maybe I haven't served or I've thought about and just have never even brought it up to anyone's mind or attention. Lord, we are all in this church together. And it's a great, wonderful church when we all work together and we all serve together because of Jesus. May he always be the reason for everything that we do and all that goes on here. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand. You do not have to say the second article by yourself today. Let's say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was
conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to give you the benediction before I turn it over to Bob here today. And I really like the last verses of the book of Jude. Jude is a book right before Revelation at the end of the Bible. And says this: to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.